Australia's lost one of its most influential Aboriginal storytellers with the recent passing of author Auntie Doris Pilkington Garamara. Auntie Doris wrote many books about her family's experiences as members of the Stolen Generations, one of which, Follow the Rabbit Proof Fence, followed her mother's adventures as a girl and was turned into an award-winning film. The Wire's Lisa Burns has more.
Ah, yes, absolutely. Fell in love with her straight away. A true person in the sense of a mother and an auntie. Sort of ticked all those boxes and understood and had this very good understanding of the needs and the grief and loss of Stolen Generations and descendants of Stolen Generations and those that are affected by those removal policies, whether that was through adoption or through fostering or the Welfare Act and things like that. She had a very clear understanding and knew how to greet and talk with people and have them associated with her as a, in a lot of cases, an auntie to them.
It was this kind of understanding that made Auntie Doris Pilkington Garamara's books so successful. In 2008, Auntie Doris won the Red Ochre Award for her outstanding and lifelong contribution to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander arts. Some of her most well-known stories, Follow the Rabbit Proof Fence and Under the Wintamarra Tree, chronicled her mother's and her own escape from the Moore River Native Settlement in Western Australia in the 1930s, after being taken away from their families. Close friend Ivan Copley, a Paramank elder from the Mount Lofty Ranges in South Australia, met Auntie Doris just after 2002 when she was appointed as one of the ambassadors for the National Sorry Day Committee. He says it was a natural fit for Auntie Doris to want to convey her feelings and experiences through her writing.
That's an interesting thing, of course, too, the attachment for Aboriginal people to the country where they came from or their parents came from. Is inert. It's something there that's always has been and always will be a deep and meaningful thing. People are attached to the earth which their family came. Their cultural inheritance is through that, and her struggle to get back there and her obvious struggle of a mother going back along rabbit proof fence and all that, and the similar experiences for her being removed, just showed that distance and time weren't factors around people getting drawn back to where they came from. And as she grew up and everything like that, in fact, to her final days, you know, going back to Geelong and going back and seeing family there was a high priority. And she spent a lot of the last several years up there still writing. You know, always amazes me the things she did like that. But she travelled a lot around Australia and went to places where she was the advocate and spoke about the needs for healing and understanding, which was the growth after Rabbit Proof Fence. That was a story about one person's journey. But across Australia, there was thousands upon thousands of descendants and Aboriginal people and Stolen Generations that looked at that. And even though their story may have changed somewhat or a little bit from that, it was so on the spot about the emotions, the feeling, the loss of country, the loss of family, the grief, the absolute abuse and things that took place was the same for everyone else. And this was highlighted through the eventual... Auntie Doris was the person that put it up there on the platform, ready for national discussion, international discussion. Without her there, we could still be looking for an apology, without a doubt. She was the catalyst that set it all off.
Despite her national status and what her stories meant to many other members of the Stolen Generations, Ivan says Auntie Doris's plight to make sense of her own experience didn't stop at her writing.
I can recall her and another great Aboriginal woman, Auntie Clara Coulthard, going, and I've got photos actually of them, running around the hills finding little flowers in the grass, and we were supposed to be having this national meeting of importance, and we look around and we go, where's Auntie Doris and Auntie Clara gone? And we can't see them anywhere. And down the hill, they are picking flowers like two little girls. And I've gone up and told them off and said, what are you girls up to? And they're going, nothing, with their hands and their flowers behind their back. But the importance of the time they spent there as virtual sisters in things that they didn't do as children was so important to them. And these are ladies in, you know, past their 50s, running around like little children picking flowers. And everyone else just looked at it and went, yeah, well, that'd be right, you know. That's what it's all about, these memories of things that you never had or never experienced. And that's the influence she had, you know. I remember Auntie Clara Coulthard, that for her was, well, are we going to sit up tonight and exchange stories? And my wife, Mia, and Auntie Doris sat up during the night. She had no one else, the day's work, or the politicians, the councils, and all those people wanted to get all this information and have all this film around her discussion and be part of all that and show that they had an empathy and all that, finished in the afternoon. And then only Doris is by herself. And no one's seen that, you know. That happened all over the country when she's travelling and that. So my wife said, oh, I'm going to spend the night. And they set up like two little girls as well, chatting away the night, and Auntie Clara Coulthard with them. And they were, you know, like messing around and bouncing on the beds and stuff like this. These are times that they needed to capture back. And this is what I think part of her journey and the apology and all those things allowed to have happen as well. Gave people permission to be able to talk about it and get over that and try and experience a life they should have had.
As she'd go about doing this and helping others, did you see that it helped for her to deal with her own grief of being removed and her mother's grief?
I think so, of course. An interesting perspective, and I guess anyone that would hear this would see it's my point of view and opinion, but that's based on evidence and experiences over the last couple of decades in working with stolen generations all over Australia and experiencing, understanding a lot of those things. And being an Aboriginal person myself, knowing through my own family's experiences of the effects of early government policies, that in doing that, she developed a bigger family. You know, she had a big family and a great family over in WA, and I spent time with them as well. But this helped her understand being with other people that were removed and treated in the same way that her mother and family was and she was, helped her go through that healing process. And I know that that was a key element to her, that people could not go to their grave without going through some healing process and feeling like I've been acknowledged and I am an Aboriginal person and what was done was wrong.